to bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you again this morning. We missed being here last Sunday, but I trust Jons had a good service here. We had a good weekend out at MEW, and very encouraging weekend as we were there and gathered together with a lot of people we had made friends with over the years. And I guess if you, probably all of you got the message, but we're changing the order of the service this morning after our meeting, our EBI board meeting there at MEW. It became apparent we needed to have another before long at EBI, and this is when it suited everybody, so it kind of seems a little odd to have them about 10 days apart, but that's the way it worked out. So, and it worked. Yeah, I need to be there by 7:30 tomorrow morning, so we're planning to leave here after I'm done sharing the message. So. But I trust we'll all have a good day, and we weren't sure with the weather they were calling for, whether we'd even have church this morning, but I guess it goes to prove that God's still in control. And yeah, the weathermen were acting like, yeah, everything would be pretty nasty by now. We have a little skiff on the ground. We don't know what the rest of the day holds, but just a little bit here. Maybe I'll share, I said a little bit about our weekend last week at MEW. It was a very encouraging weekend, and it was geared more towards leaders or pastors of the church, but yet there's a lot of good truths that they had shared there that would be good for everyone in life. And the title or the theme of the weekend was Training Faithful Men. And so I guess by the reason I'm saying all this, if you have a chance, they have it up, all the messages or the services on the BMA website. You can click on them, and just some very good messages. It was the theme was, or the text they used for the, or the book I should say, that they used for the text of all the messages came out of 2 Timothy. So it's very, very good. And some of them were training faithful men in the gospel, training faithful men to endure hardness, training faithful men for purity, and training faithful men for perilous times, training faithful men in the scripture, and training faithful men to finish well. So it's all very good things to, as we think of the Christian life and what we're doing in life. And just as I said, it was very encouraging to be there, and it's like some of us became really good friends over the years, and we were talking one day, it's almost like when you could get back together, you just pick up where you left off, and it's like, yeah, you just continue on, almost kind of like we do from week to week, but there it's every 6 months, or maybe even sometimes once a year. It was out in Kansas, the part over there near Hutchinson. It wasn't quite as barren as I was expecting. Parts of Kansas are pretty barren, and it definitely was wintertime like everywhere else. There wasn't anything, any hint of green anywhere, but it wasn't quite as bad as I thought, and everything went well with our travels. So, but anyway, moving on from that, the message we have before us here this morning, we want to continue what I'd shared 2 weeks ago on the institution of marriage. And the message we're going to be looking at this morning, I guess you could say, is kind of the Christian home. It's kind of the marriage and the Christian home, the roles and responsibilities in the home. I'll read the next section there, the paragraph we're looking at in our church covenant. It says, I believe the husband must diligently fulfill his role as leader in the home, exemplifying a Christ-like life in all relationships, loving his wife and being responsive to provide for the needs of each member by God's help. He is accountable to God and to be the spiritual leader of the home. His wife glorifies the perfect will of God and complements his family structure by submitting to this leadership. Children are called to obey to, let me start that over. Children are called by God to obey this authority. So yeah, just a couple things we want to look at as part of that. But as we think about, as I had already shared, we talked about the institution of marriage. And as we think about marriages around us, so many marriages are crumbling. And even in amongst the Christian circles, we see maybe not so much marriages crumbling to the point of splitting up, but we see homes where there isn't unity, where there isn't a togetherness, a oneness as God would want there to be. And I guess there's several different reasons we could say that would be, but yeah, a couple things I guess we want to look at this morning. And I'm becoming more and more a firm believer that the relationship that a husband and wife, a mom and dad have in the home directly affects how the children respond to the parents in the home. And by saying that, I was going to say this later, but it just came to my mind out at MEW, the one at the business meeting session, they were talking about some ways they're going to try to do a few more things for the youth at like convention, and they were asking ways of how we could maybe reach out more to the youth, the young people in our generation, and you know, just they were asking for ways that you could, they asked for examples of things that different churches have done and different ones shared, like weekend youth seminar type things, or like our youth go once a year to the cabin or with several other youth groups. And few people shared several things, and then one man stood up and he said something of this effect. This might not be the exact words, but he said, one of the things he said, this beginning might not directly affect be towards the youth, but he said, I'm seeing way too many troubled marriages in our midst and in our circles. And he said, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, if our marriages become what God wants them to be, our youth will be what they should be too. And I thought about that, and I bet you about 80% of the men in there said amen. And I say that to say this, it's not just affecting what we do. You know, God instituted it, God designed it, God planned it. And I shared that 2 weeks ago. He didn't design this for us to have a rough life or an awful life or a mediocre life or a life that's just putting in time, so to speak. But he designed it because he knew it would work if we were willing to do it his way. So moving on from that, how do we make our marriages work? We could say, how do we make them not only work, but how do we have a loving relationship and a nice place to be? How do we make a house a home? Do you make more money? Do you get more things? Do you buy more stuff? Do you make a bigger house, more square feet to live in? How do we really make a house a home? One thing we need to remember, you can have a really nice house, but that don't make it a home. A home is just like the church. It's the people that live there. The church isn't this building we could have, and we have a nice building to meet in. It's very nice. It's very serviceable. But we could go out and spend millions of dollars and build a big, elaborate building, but that wouldn't change the church, because the church is the people that meet here. And that's the same with the home. You can have a huge house, you can have all the elaborate, whatever you want to have, but that's not really the home. The home is made up of the people that live there. A Christian home or Christian marriage and family needs to be a place where God is first and where each other in the family feels a closeness toward each other. That makes it a warm place that you can't wait to get to. Think about it for a moment. Lois and I, thankfully, in our married life, haven't been apart real often, very seldom for any length of time, but probably the longest time was when I went to Shepherd's Institute. I'm not sure if I didn't even look back, but it's probably 9 or 10 years ago, and that was the worst week of my life, I'll be honest with you. I couldn't wait to get back home. And, you know, that's the way it should be. It should be a place we long to get to. At the end of the day, I love to go into the house and realize that I'm done for the day and I get to spend the rest of the evening with my wife and family or whatever other activities we have. A verse to think about, and I think this is very important for us. Many of us probably have this motto hanging in our homes, but Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What all is involved in serving the Lord? Is it just, you know, too many people today, I think, do this in all of life. They don't do more than they need to get by. You know, you go to your job, you put in your 8 hours a day or whatever it is you work. You just can't wait till that clock gets to 5 o'clock because I'm getting out of here. I'm done for the day. And, you know, I'm not saying that's all wrong, but the mentality of not giving any more than you have to, I guess, is what I'm thinking about. And too many times that's what happens in our marriages. We're not giving any more than we have to. We're just giving enough to get by. This morning for the text we're going to look at is, I'm going to also look at two chapters in Psalm. And very good what you read there this morning, Kyle. But we're going to look at Psalm 127 and 128. Psalm 127 and 128 says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for they shall eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. I want to look at several different things here in this text, as well as we'll look at some other verses in Scripture to kind of pour thoughts together of how we can live lives that are honoring to God and how we can have marriages and homes and families that will honor the Lord. It's one thing I guess I've been intrigued by as I watch families over the years, and you see some families that grow up and all of the children become Christians, the grandchildren come along, all of the grandchildren become Christians and seem to be respectful, honoring people in the church and in their communities where they are. And then you see other families where the children are growing up and half the children turn away from the Lord, and if they don't, the grandchildren are turning away from the Lord, or they're letting things go that are principles and applications taught in Scripture. And I guess I kind of have been struggling with that over the years. Why is that? It's not that you see so much on the outside anyhow, that you see troubles in the home, but I guess I wonder why that really is. And I sometimes wonder, there's probably several things I believe factor into that, and I'm not saying it's all the parents' fault. Each child needs to make their own choices. I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But when you see homes that aren't in harmony, where husbands aren't taking leadership in the home the way they're supposed to, where wives aren't submitting and letting the husband lead, where wives are domineering, and you've probably heard this before, that I see too many Christian wives, what I term domineering submission, where they appear to be submitting, but yet they're domineering the relationship in the home, and that's not how God designed it to be. And I guess by saying all that, when the children see confusion in the home or in the church, or when they see confusion happening on any basis around them, it creates a confusion in their mind and a desire that they don't really want to be a part of that. But moving on from that, we'll maybe have a few more thoughts on some of that later. But there in verse 1 in chapter 127 that we read first there, one thing we need to remember, first and foremost of all, we need to have God in the center of our homes. We need to have husband and wives that are both dedicated in their service to the Lord. Both have been grounded in their salvation and their faith in the Lord. And you've got to keep that first and foremost and center. There's no way you can have a relationship like God wants you to have. There's two things we see here in this verse. Except the Lord build the house, and except the Lord keep the city. You could probably use this for several applications, but I believe it fits very well here with the family and the home as we read the rest of the verses in this text. But unless we are willing to allow God to build our house and our home, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, it will never be what it should be. Our homes and our families and our marriages, I believe, are a direct reflection of a relationship between us and God. Be looking at three different parts this morning. The first part is the master designer. I don't know if any of you have ever built a house or built a building that's a farm-constructed building, isn't so much this, but more of a commercial building. You need to hire somebody to draw up plans for it. You need maybe an architect, or maybe you need to have somebody put together blueprints. You need to basically have a plan of how you're going to build the building. If you want to build a house in the right way, you need to have plans, or else you might end up with something that's either lopsided or might fall over. I think all of us who would know much of anything about construction, if you just went out on top of the ground and set up forms and poured a wall with nothing else, it wouldn't stand very long. But if you dig down in the ground 2 to 3 foot below the frost line and put a nice wide footer and build your base on pour your wall on that base, it could stand for a lifetime. You're building a solid foundation. And I believe the same can be said for a Christian home, except the Lord build a house. All of our things that we try to do will end up falling apart. or falling over. Our plans need to be given to Him, and we need to be willing to follow His plan and allow Him to give us guidance and direction in life. Were you ever going somewhere you didn't really, it was unfamiliar to you and you got lost, you didn't really thought you had the right directions, and you got there and it's like, well, man, this ain't where we thought we were going. Lois and I think it was Saturday night, the one family there had invited a bunch of us back to their house for a snack after the service. And we put their address in GPS and we got there and we're like, well, this ain't it. There's nothing there. So we went on down the road and turned around and came back. Well, here we realized they were back in a long lane and there really wasn't much. It was dark out and you really couldn't see much. But there's times you get to somewhere, and especially nowadays with GPS, it's handy, but yet it's almost worse because sometimes you end up in the middle of a field, or you're supposed to turn in right in the middle of a field, maybe not out in the middle of the field. But moving on from that, you know, you used to have to, when you'd go somewhere, you would ask for directions. You'd write them down. Sometimes you'd write the wrong thing down. Maybe you wrote to turn the wrong way at a certain stop sign, and you knew you would end up at the wrong place. How many of us are getting ready to go somewhere? Maybe you're going on a trip. You're running to head west. How many of us would go over to 81 and start heading south if you're wanting to head west? Or vice versa, if you're wanting to head south, you'd go get on a turnpike and head west. No, you normally want to have directions, and you want to know the best and smoothest and quickest way to get there. And I believe that can be said the same for our marriages. You know, too many times I believe we go into things, and as Brother Ernie used to say, with laying on your back with both feet planted firmly in midair, not really having any foundation or not really having any direction. But if we base what we believe and what we stand for on the Word of God, and bring that into our relationships and our homes and our family, if we allow the Master's design, the one that put the plan together, to shape and mold us, it will go a long ways in helping our homes to be what God wants them to be. We need to be willing to follow His plans for our lives and for our homes. Sad to say, I believe there's far too many people that are doing in their lives the same as the person that would go get on 81 and head south that is wanting to go west. They're thinking they can do it in their own way, in their own time. And then when they end up somewhere where they don't want to be, they sit back and wonder why. I'm not saying we can't come back, and no, there is no relationship and no families that are perfect. There's many times, I'll be the first one to admit, and I've said it before, I've made many a mistake. But are we willing to go back and say we are sorry and commit our ways to the Lord? We need to continue to read the Word of God. We need to follow the Holy Spirit's direction in our lives. We need to come to the Lord on our knees and cry out to direction from Him. One of the speakers, thinking about the thought there, following the Holy Spirit's direction in our lives, one of the speakers, I believe it was Saturday morning, and that was probably one of the best messages, Tom Gehring, Training Faithful Men for Perilous Times. He would not have been raised in a Christian home and came to the faith and ended up, him and his wife started getting convictions for the veiling and other things that we as BMA, conservative people, would believe. Ended up becoming a part of a BMA church and ended up being called to the ministry. And he has a wonderful testimony. But what made me think about him was the thought of following the Holy Spirit. He said, too many people today claim they're following the Spirit. And he said, yeah, they are following a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. He said, if the spirit you're following is pulling you away from what the Bible teaches, you're not following the Holy Spirit. And I thought about that in a lot of things in life, you know. We hear so much today of getting caught up in the Spirit, and yes, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, unless you leave here and say I don't do this, I do believe in being led by the Holy Spirit, but we need to be trying the spirits to whether they are from God. What all does this have to do with marriage and the family and the home? I believe it all ties together. I don't believe you can take any of it apart, because if we start dissecting it and you start throwing one part out, it has an effect on the outcome of everything else in life. We need to give God our marriages and our homes and our families and our spouses and let Him do His work in their lives, that we will never be able to build a godly marriage and home on our own strength. You've probably heard the illustration before. It's probably made up. I'm sure somebody probably said it along the way, but you used to have three theories and no children, or yeah, three theories and no children. Now you have three children and no theories. There's time, and you know, you think about that. That's so true in life. Sometimes you think you got everything figured out, but when the tough things come along, you realize you have really not a whole lot figured out, and it brings you back to realizing how much you need the Lord in the center of everything you do. Part two we want to look at is strong spiritual families. Chapter 128 here, we'll be looking at some of them verses and maybe even a few more out of 127. But I believe if you look over the verses there in 128, it's a result of lives that are surrendered to the Lord. It's a result of all of us that really have recognized the need to let God have first place in our lives and allow Him to do His work in our lives and in our marriages and our homes. We need to recognize the fact that we need to have that good, solid foundation and allow God and the Master's plan that He has and build our homes from that. The best foundation I believe that any Christian family can have is the Word of God. That's why it's important for us to have a family devotional time together, to pray together, to read the Word of God together, and to be there for one another in any way we can. Thinking about building our homes on the Master's plan or by the Master's design, Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25, kind of jumping in the middle here, but it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." That is the home that is built on a solid foundation, a home that is built on the design and plans of God. A wise man is one that hears and does what Jesus says. It's a question for each one of us to think about and answer for ourselves this morning. Is our homes being built upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ Himself? I wasn't sure if I was going to share this, and there again, I'm not saying that I'm perfect and in any way, shape, or form. But one of my prayers almost every day is for Lois and I that we would keep Christ first in our personal lives and everything we do, and keep Christ first in the center of our marriage. You know, you think about that. I shared 2 weeks ago about the institution of marriage and how the Breda talked about binding them together, and the three braided cord, how Christ needs to be braided and woven in the middle of all of that. And I believe as we continue to surrender and recognize our need for God, it goes a long ways in helping us to build and stay on that solid foundation. There in our text in Psalm 128, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways." Thinking about marriages, I can't help but to go back and read Ephesians. If you want to turn with me, if you can. If you don't, you can just sit and listen. But Ephesians 5, thinking about, the different roles and responsibilities in marriage relationships. I want to read verse 22 to 33. Probably won't make a whole lot of comment on this, but just again, bringing out what God has designed for our marriages. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is a Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, and of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. There's a lot there, we could expound on that, but there's a message in and of itself there. I guess I'm bringing out the thoughts of the way God instituted marriages, the way God wants them to work. And, you know, that thought of husbands loving your wives even as Christ loved the church. Think about what Christ did for the church. Think about what it cost Christ for the church. Are we loving our wives in that same way? And then it talks about wives submitting yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is called to be the head of the wife, even as Christ is called to be the head of the church. You know what, and that would be more the roles and responsibilities in marriage. But I believe, as I shared before, if we go and understand our different roles and responsibilities and fulfill them, it goes a long ways in helping us to be happy and have a good godly home and good godly families. There in our text, in 128, verse 3, it says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table." That creates a beautiful picture of how God wants our homes to function and how he wants them to be. Tell your children how important they are as they're growing up, and that you love them, and that you pray for them. And I believe they need to hear us pray for them. I believe that is a very important part. Tell them that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, I just keep hearing casualty after casualty of men. There's just another one this week I heard of. Actually, it was about 10 days ago now. He didn't come home one evening. It's a young father, married about 4 or 5 years. There's two young children in the home, about 25, 26 years old. And this is in another state, way out in the western part of the country. But his wife didn't know where he was at. And he was going into the city there to do something with the Social Security office. I forget what all it was. Well, here it came out that he had set up to meet up with a prostitute, and here it ended up being a sting for that the cops had got him, and he ended up in jail. And I just, how can men that proclaim to be Christians begin to think about doing stuff like that? But I believe, and what made me bring that up right now, that the thinking about this thought of teaching and training our children that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, men and fathers and husbands and young men here in the church, in this audience here this morning, we can defeat the forces and the temptation that Satan sends our way. And we not only can, we have to, by the power of God, if we want our families to be strong. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Do we really believe that this morning? Husbands and men here this morning, never forget to tell your wife how much you love her. Build her up, strengthen her. The quote we've probably heard many times before, that the best thing that a man can do for his children is to love their mother. And I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Wives, submit to your husbands and honor the authority that God has given them. Children, obey your parents, as we see in verse 3 and 128, the end of it there. Verse 3 and 128. You know, there are thousands of books written each year of how to have a happy home, a perfect marriage, how to raise your children. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reading some of that, but if we base our relationships on what we read in them books instead of coming back to the Word of God, I believe them books can help us in some ways at some times, but we need to be careful that everything we do is based on the Word of God. Thinking about the order in the home, one more thing I wanted to read here, a statistical study. It says, "A number of statistics studies have been done in the last several years seem to suggest that if neither parent is involved in worship, there is less than 5% likelihood that their children will ever do so. Where the mother alone is involved in worship, there is 30% likelihood that her children will become involved. When the father alone is involved in worship, there is a 50% likelihood that their children would be involved. where both father and mother are involved in worship in the church, there is an 85% or greater likelihood that their children will someday be involved in the life of the church. I would wish that could have said 100% where both father and mother, but we know all children need to make their own choices. But just some thoughts and understanding how important it is for us to both keep God first, both of us to be what God wants us to be, and keep God in the center of everything we do. God is a God of order. Someone once said it like this: the father is the head of the home, the mother is the heart of the home, and the children are the life of the home. And if the head don't love and care for the heart, there will be no life in the home. Let me read that again so you make sure you get that all. The father is the head of the home, the mother is the heart of the home, and the children are the life of the home. And if the head, the father, don't love and care for the heart, the mother, there will be no life, and that would be the children in the home. If we follow God's order, we can have both joy and fellowship in our homes. That, again, is not to say that everything will be perfect. All of us are human. You know, I used to think when I was young growing up, some of the temptations, some of the trials I faced, that there was something wrong with me, that I was the only one facing that. But we all face the same trials. We all face the same temptations. We all have the same adversary trying to tear us down. Yeah, there might be different ones, different days, but it's all kind of, he attacks us all in the same way at different times. Thinking about building our homes on the foundation of God, we read a couple verses earlier about building our homes on the solid rock. We want to read the verses that show us what will happen if we don't build our homes on the solid rock. They're in Matthew 7, verses 26 and 27. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. There again, think for a moment, if you tried to pour a concrete wall on top of a bed of sand, how long would it stand? It wouldn't stand. You probably could push it over with your hand if it wasn't a very long wall. Part three we want to look at yet is standing on the solid foundation. The Bible teaches us, as we'd already looked at, that Jesus is the chief cornerstone of our faith. A verse in 1 Peter 2, verse 6 says, and I believe we're maybe taking it out of context here just a little bit, but I believe it can apply because it's talking about him being a chief cornerstone of the church, but I believe we can also apply it to our homes. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I would like to portray that and say that if we have Jesus as the chief cornerstone and foundation of our homes, we will not be confounded if we continue to believe on him and keep him as a foundation of our homes. Husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, children, young people here this morning, we must have a relationship with Jesus. We need to hear and do and know what God wants us to do. In James, it tells us to not be just hearers only, but doers of the word. For if we are a hearer only of the word and not a doer, it says we are like unto a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass. You know, you see so much confusion round about us today, where there's a couple weeks ago, I was at a place of business, and a man and a young boy came in there. I would say the boy was maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 maybe, somewhere probably at the most. I just figured it was a dad and a son, didn't think a whole lot about it, and I was there for a little bit, and as they were talking, I came to realize that, yeah, it was a second marriage, and this boy was not that man's son. It was, yeah, because he was talking to this boy about his mom and his dad, but yet he was, yeah, by the way he was talking, I could tell he was married. I forget what he said, but I knew he was married to this boy's mom. And, yeah, I was there waiting on some parts and stuff. I had to wait there maybe 10 minutes, and just to read the interaction I've seen them have, and, you know, the thought of that boy is supposed to function, but he has a dad, a father, but he's not really in his life a whole lot. Now this stepdad, and I'm not saying stepdads can't be a father to the child, but in a relationship where it's a broken home like that, it's very, very hard to be. But yeah, it just, there was confusion there. You could just tell it by their interaction and their thoughts. Are we willing to keep our lives focused on Jesus and his word and keep confusion out of our lives? Jesus needs to be the center of everything we do, our families, our homes. This was a quote that I seen, and I really liked it. We cannot leave him outside the door. Think about that for a moment. He has to be in the center of everything we do. What are we passing on to our children? Are we being God-fearing men and women of God? It says there in chapter 127, verse 2, a couple verses there. It is vain for us to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Then it goes on to say that was kind of a second thought after God being the watchman or the watchman of the house or keeping the city. Then it goes on to say, the children are an heritage of the Lord and a fruit of the womb. As heirs are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You know, I don't know if you've ever shot bow and arrow, if you ever watched somebody that was very good. They knew, they drew back, they made sure they were aiming where they were at the target, and they shot, and if they were good, they can hit a bullseye. And that's what it's saying here for us as fathers and mothers in the home. We need to teach and nurture and train our children that they can basically hit a bullseye in their lives, that they can be what God wants them to be. We need to give them, I guess you could say it like this, the foundation that they have, that all that they need to be able to do that. Never forget that the best heritage that we can pass on to our children is a God-fearing heritage. There is a lot of blessings and joys and peace and fellowship that comes, I believe, from having a spiritual home. I want to read a couple more verses back in Colossians 3 yet here in closing. Kind of somewhat similar to some of the other verses we read there in Ephesians maybe, but just a little bit with a different twist. Colossians 3 verses 17 to 23. It says, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it as heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye shall serve the Lord Christ. Actually, I read one more verse than I was wanting to. But there in 123, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. I believe as we begin to get a little older in life, we realize, as I believe it was Solomon said, that all is vanity. You know, anything in life that, yeah, we need to take care of the things God has placed us in charge of, whether it's our occupation, whether it's our jobs, we need to give good service, we need to do our best in that. But if other than that, outside of the will of God and building our homes and our families, everything else is vanity. There's nothing wrong with having a little fun in life. I'm not against that. Don't take me wrong here. But I guess I see so much, can I say, frivolous, empty commotion going on in our circles. And we have that, some at huge expenses even, and we have, you know, we live in America where we have a lot. We live in America where we are among probably, I'm sure, well, they say the 8% of the wealthiest in the world if you have a roof over your head and money in your wallet and food in your refrigerator. Well, many of us have a lot more than that, so I would venture to guess we're probably within the top 2 to 4% of probably the wealthiest in the world. And I was just thinking the other day a little bit, you know, what are we doing in life that is helping to shape and mold and teach the next generation coming along of the need to help others in other countries that don't have what we have, the need of service, the need of giving back to the Lord? You know, there's so much I could probably go on and make a whole message out of that, but we need to close here. But I believe all of this comes together and ties up and has a huge effect on the outcome of the next generation. One more verse I wanted to touch on just a little bit there. In Psalm 128, verse 36, "Yea, and thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel." In other words, he's bringing out the thought here that what you're doing is going to have effect on your children and your grandchildren, and talking about peace on Israel, where David was a part of that. But we could say here that it'll be peace upon our homes and our future generations' homes, and we will see them doing what is right, I believe, if we are what God wants us to be and we live lives that are honoring, pleasing to Him. There's a lot more that could be said here, but I trust as we go through life, if you forget everything else I said, remember, first of all, men, to love your wives, and wives, be willing to submit to your husbands. Men, I believe if we love our wives as Christ loved the church, it is a lot easier for our wives to submit to that leadership and that authority in the home. And that's not to say that life will always be perfect. And I didn't touch on it, but just briefly here, I'll bring out that thought of where it talks about if we don't, and here again, maybe I'm paraphrasing this, but if we don't love our wives as Christ loved the church, we hate our own bodies. And for those of us as men, I hope none of us hate our own bodies or our own lives, but that's kind of the thought that we get from those verses. So, yeah, just be willing to be all God wants you to be. Keep Christ first in everything you do, and give your best in what you do for the Lord. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.